The Andrew Peach Show.
Berkshire news, Berkshire stories, and Berkshire's travel you trust.
This is BBC Radio Berkshire.
How are you doing with the tech then? Whether you're trying to keep in touch with your family, whether you're trying to stream for the first time, 0808 100 5100. Fevzi Turkout, the gadget detective, takes your calls on the Peach Show. Morning, Fevzi.
Morning.
Great to have you with us. Going to start with Kim in Maidenhead. Morning, Kim.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. What you got, Kim?
Well, I've had a laptop at home now for about 3.5 weeks. I haven't been on broadband before, so it's very new for me. The laptop came with 1 month supply of McAfee antivirus,
yeah,
which is obviously due to finish very soon. But it also came with one I can load up with Norton antivirus. That's a deluxe product. I don't know whether this, I'm going to come across any problems loading that on, or whether I should buy one from a shop from McAfee to keep things running the same.
Right.
The laptop companies say they recommend McAfee, but then they've sent the Norton, if that makes sense.
Is there in with the thing as well? So you've got, is everything else with your new laptop all right?
Yes, it's
excellent.
Great. Thank you.
Excellent. Pleased to hear it. Well, finally, I'm just being nosy now. What are you using it for? What motivated you to get the laptop?
Well, the coronavirus, really, to sort of keep in touch.
To keep in touch with people.
Hoping to Skype relatives in the north of England. Eventually, obviously, it's a bit too new at the moment.
Okay.
And possibly doing online shopping.
Right. So, Fevzi, Kim's got her laptop. What do you think about the antivirus?
Okay, right. So, opinions will vary. Here is mine. I prefer by far the Norton to the McAfee. Other people may think the other way around, but that would be my advice. There is a commercial arrangement between... When you get a PC and there's third-party software installed on it, it's because there's a deal between the manufacturer and that company to put it on your system. And I really wish that they would not do that. There's plenty of stuff that you know you could put on that would be better than, you know, tells you something when someone's paying to have their stuff put on, in my opinion. But anyway, so I would go for the Norton. However, even if there's a version of Norton on the system already and they're asking you to just pay for it, don't do that, because they'll be charging you full whack. They'll be charging you 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 pounds, depending on how they're feeling that day, for 1 year's cover. You don't need to pay that amount. What I would do is I would go on to various websites and just look around for Norton Antivirus or Norton Premium, and just try and find a deal. So there's a large online retailer which is named after a South American river. They will have codes. Also look at, I think, some of the magazines like PC Pro magazine online. In their shop, in their online shop, they do codes. And to give you an idea, I mean, this won't be for everyone, but I bought one where I had the right to install it on 10 machines and it had 2 years cover, and it was £40, which meant £2 per machine per year, which is, you know, essentially
which
nothing.
Is pretty good.
Yeah. So you know, just be aware, you can get covered for, you know, less than £10, £15, £20, not the sort of money that they'll charge you. If you go straight to the McAfee website, you'll be paying full whack. You get the best cover, you'll get the same updates, you just don't pay the same amount of money. Also, when you get it, switch off the thing where it says auto-renew, where they take the money from your payment method every year automatically. Because again, at renewal date, they will take the full amount of money from you without, even though you may have paid a tenner for it or something, they'll take £50 or £60 for you on renewal.
Next time around.
Yeah, so don't do that.
So ignore all the stuff that came with the laptop, basically, Kim.
Right, okay.
And set out, you know, as a sort of new customer shopping around.
Yes, will do then.
Thank you very much. And just while you're there, you said the point of this was to get to maybe set up some online shopping and maybe set up Zoom or some way of keeping in touch with other friends and family.
Yeah. I mean,
these are really typical things that we've been doing in our house. So we've been getting to grips with the Zoom, setting up online shopping, which we've never done before, and also trying to pick up on Fevzi's advice from last week about antivirus software, which is coming to in a second or two. So everyone can feel your pain here. What will spur you on to try and use the laptop for the things you bought it for?
Well, Well, I think once I've set up the antivirus, it's going to last for a year rather than one that's going to finish in, I think it's about a week now to go.
Yeah.
I'll feel a bit more confident, I think, of shopping online.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the moment, I'm sort of conscious that it's about to finish. And
there might be some risk associated with that.
Yeah.
I get it's all new. This stuff's all new for me as well. We're quite pleased with there's still the biggest challenge of the online shopping is getting a delivery slot. The rest of it seems to work really, really well. I know for people who've been doing this for years, this feels like the most naive conversation ever, but it's genuine for those of us who are not used to it. Should Kim have any worries, Febzy, about getting on with her online shopping before she's renewed her antivirus?
Yeah, I would say get your security in place first if you can. By the way, the version of Norton that I would recommend to you is called Norton 360. Be aware that there's some of the older versions still floating around. So Norton 360 is what you want. Once you've installed that and you've run all the updates, and by the way, don't be afraid if there's a particularly good deal on 2 years, take 2 years if it's like a few quid a year. But once you've done that, uninstall the McAfee and any older version of Norton that might still be on there. What you don't want is more than one antivirus on a machine at one time because it can cause problems. But yeah, I would avoid signing up for anything at the moment just to you're well protected. You really don't want to be going online without a good antivirus suite active on your computer.
All right, Kim, keep us in touch. Thank you for ringing the show. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
If you've got a question about the tech, either the software that keeps you in touch with family members or the hardware you might need to buy to do it, 0808 100 5100, call us now. So, Febzy, I do listen, okay? So this week I went and bought some antivirus software and I found that I already had three different antivirus software packages already on the laptop, which is the whole process is now not only revealed to me but uninstalled. So that's probably going to help in some way, shape or form, I would think.
Yeah, yes, it will certainly help, yeah.
And with the new thing that I bought, I think I paid £13 for 12 months cover, which I was quite happy about. That seemed all right. It's put it on the machine for me. All seems to be absolutely fine. It's uninstalled the old stuff. It's suggesting to me that part of what I've bought is a chance to have all my files on the laptop backed up onto some kind of cloud. And then
yes.
I thought, well, that sounds good. So I attempted to instruct it to do that, and then it told me it couldn't, and then I didn't know what to do.
Okay, so yes, I mean, with the Norton deal and some of the other ones, they give you something like 75 gigabytes of cloud storage, I think it is. So what that means is, in addition to the storage you've got built into your computer, you can store the information you choose up. When you say in the cloud, it means on a computer that's on the internet somewhere and that you can access.
And you can back up your files as well. So if the laptop fell into the bath and stopped working, then the files would still exist somewhere, would they?
Yeah, and well, the bigger risk is ransomware. Fewer cases of people dropping the laptop in the bath, more getting victim to ransomware. So ransomware is a type of malware or virus that silently attacks a computer. And when I say silently, what it does is it encrypts every file on your system. That's to say, it scrambles it in such a way that you can't use it, access it, look at it. And then when it's finished doing that, it then tells you what it's done and blackmails you into paying money for them to unlock it for you. Now, if you've got all your stuff backed up either on a hard drive that's no longer connected to the computer since the backup or in the cloud, for the most part, you can just ignore them, tell them to get stuffed and reinstate your files yourself. If you have no backup, then you're a real victim to ransomware. So whether you do it in the cloud or whether you do it on an external drive that connects via, say, USB, you must have up-to-date backups. And I say this as someone who's been caught out myself without up-to-date backups. If you think of everyone, I think, should just take a think about what's on their computer or on their tablet or whatever. Are there photos of loved ones that are irreplaceable? Is there that sort of draft script that you've been working on for 5 years and haven't quite finished and have no paper copies of? Are there things that if that were to go today, that would be disastrous for you? If there are, then those are the things that you should be backing up.
So back to my, I mean, this is a, it's perhaps rather hard to diagnose exactly what's going on with my laptop, but when the, you know, you appear to have bought something as part of your antivirus, it says, oh, you can back it all up onto a cloud, and you think, yeah, that's look good, looks good. I'll click the button that says, yes, I'd like to do that. And then it thinks about it for a minute and says, sorry, there's been an error, we can't. What do you then do? Who do you then call? Yeah. Who do you then turn to?
Well, one of the, I'll give you a trick that, you know, it sounds a bit obvious, but amazing how people don't do it. Take an exact note, a verbatim note of the error message, search for it in Google or your favorite search engine in quotation marks, and when you put it in quotation marks, it means that quote, those words in that order verbatim. See what comes up. Consider adding the word solved, S-O-L-V-E-D, to that search term as well, and you will find that, first of all, it will identify to you exactly where that message is coming from. And if you're fortunate, and in most cases, you will find other people who've had the same message. And the reason why I say solved is that often when someone posts to an online forum and then they get an answer which they consider to have solved it, they mark it as solved. And therefore that will, because often you just find lots of people asking the same questions.
Yeah, so you don't want a load of links to people who've got the same problem but no answer to it. No.
So that's one way of doing it. It's usually the rest of the security software trying to protect you. So it can be the settings in the firewall, typically, or if you're running sort of some other anti-malware software, it might just be grabbing it. You would hope that Norton wasn't blocking itself, but it's not unknown.
Not impossible. You know, okay.
That's what firewalls are doing. But it's essentially, you know, trying to protect you. I had a similar problem when I was uploading a large file the other day. It took me 20 minutes to track down exactly what was blocking it. You could also try, see if you can access the online account from a different device, like a tablet or a smartphone. If you can, then you know that your credentials for accessing it are set up correctly, and that it's something particular to how that machine is set up. But it needs a little bit of sort of detective work. But that tip I've given you is the same tip for any error message you get on your system, be it a Windows-generated error or something from the Norton software or other software. It enables you to understand, first of all, what's generating the message. Plus, some messages that people get, I'm not suggesting it here, but some messages that people get are fake. And if you type in verbatim, you'll find that people have reported that message as being fake as well. So it can warn you. Just understand that not everything that you see on your screen is true.
Okay. Fevzi, stay with us. Questions, please, on 0808 100 5100. Questions in from Chris and Angela. I'd like to hear yours. Whatever you want to know about tech, keeping in touch with the family, getting your laptop protected, streaming from the internet, 0808 100 5100. Call us now. On the Andrew Peat Show.
BBC Radio Berkshire.
The virtual Peach Quest at 9 this morning with a Eurovision flavour. Now at Tech Phoning with Fevzi Turkalp, and Angela's in Woodley. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Andrew.
What would you like to know, Angela?
I was very interested listening, hearing about cloud. Now, for the last couple of months, I've had a message come up on my phone and iPad telling me that I will lose my cloud account because I haven't used it for so long. And I thought to myself, oh, well, don't worry, it doesn't matter to me. But hearing what you were saying about how it backs everything up, should I do something about this and try and keep it up?
Right. Angela, so this is a matter of personal choice. I mean, the thing about cloud is this, that there are benefits and there are risks. The benefits are it allows you to have a space where you can back up your important files, which is outside of your home. That means that if you fall victim to ransomware, if your device is stolen, if it is irreparably damaged, if there is a fire and your backup goes with it. So people have a backup and they have it on the hard drive in their room, and God forbid there's a fire or a flood and both are damaged or lost. So it can protect against all those things because it's a sort of a backup at a third party location. The downside of it is that you're storing those files outside your direct control, usually but not always on servers in the United States, which means that they're subject to not only being hacked, but they're also subject to, you know, law enforcement requests and so forth. So if you're at all concerned about those sorts of things, and it is a legitimate concern, you know, it's not just the tinfoil hat brigade that need to worry about that. Then, you know, some people choose to do their own backup. Some people do them onto drives and then place them at another location, you know, take one to work or place it with a neighbour, having obviously sanitised it if you're going to do that sort of thing. It sort of swings and roundabouts. If you are going to do backups, the best thing is to encrypt the files yourself before you send them, so that when they're sent up there, if you've encrypted it properly, and by encrypt I just mean scramble it with a code that only you know. If you do that, then even if those files are stolen, it would be very hard for anyone to actually look at the contents of them. So I think it's a good thing. The next thing I'd say to you, Angela, is be careful to know where is that message coming from. You mentioned you had an iPad. So the cloud service run by Apple is called iCloud. Is it iCloud that they're talking to you about?
It is, yes, but I don't have an Apple.
Well, you have an iPad, right? You said you had. So that's an Apple device.
Sorry, it's not iPad. It's a tablet. A Samsung tablet. Sorry.
Okay, so
they're both Samsung, my phone and tablet.
Okay, so is this a cloud service that you were aware of having had before?
I'm not. Whether it was already on when the phones were put on, the phone and tablet were put on, maybe that was it. I don't know, because I'm aware that some people, when they come through to me, they've got an address which is at iCloud, and I'm thinking, oh, what's that?
Right, but for iCloud to work, it must be with Apple devices. You must either have a Mac, an iPhone, or an iPad. If they're sending you a message about iCloud and you have no Apple devices, then that's most likely a fake message.
They're trying to
scare you into that. If you want to have you don't have to have iCloud, but if you have iCloud, you get an Apple device, you get 5 gigabytes of storage free with the machine, and then you've got the option to pay for more. More likely that you someone's trying to scam you with that. If you do want to buy cloud storage, so first of all, ignore that. If you're not aware of having had a cloud service, then ignore the fact that it might be being shut down. It's much more likely they've sent that message to everyone, and that a certain proportion of those will be Apple users, and a proportion of those will fall for it.
Thank you.
So you don't want to do that. We mentioned Norton before. There's other services. Sometimes when you buy security software, bundled in with it is a certain amount of cloud storage. And as I say, if you're happy for it to be stored, you know, outside your control, there are benefits to doing that, as we've discussed.
Mm-hmm.
But treat this one as a scam. And it comes back to what we mentioned earlier. Don't just believe everything that pops up on your screen because it pops up. Investigate it. But the good clue there is you're not an Apple user. You won't have an iCloud account.
Angela, thank you very much. This is sort of the same question in two forms. Chris says, Peachy, we've used free antivirus software for years, but Fevzy never recommends free products. Why not? And same sort of question from Leslie, who says, I've got Windows 10 Defender and basic free Avast. They seem to work okay, so why go to companies like Norton who will charge you? I do use the machine for online banking. I'm really interested in hearing what's being said about this morning. So what's wrong with the free products? I suppose that boils down to.
Right. Okay. So first of all, I'm not against free products in general. I take advantage of lots of free products. So I use the free version of Malwarebytes. I use the free version of CCleaner, both excellent products in their free form. I don't rely on them for my core security. Opinions on this will vary, but this is my honestly held view. That function, your security software, is the single most important piece of software that you run. It underpins the safety of all the information that you've got, your money, your identity, everything that can be stolen from you. It is worth paying. I don't like it when people pay £50-60 a month, but I think it is worth paying, you know, £5-20 a year. Sorry, I should say, for that. And the reason is this: keeping that software up to date is an expensive thing. Keeping up to date with the latest virus definition, so that as soon as one gets known about, they patch it and defend against it. Keeping you from going to websites that, whilst they may be legitimate, may have been compromised and therefore dangerous for you to visit, where they intercede and stop it. That it takes a lot of money. Now, if that money is not coming from you, where is it coming from? What is their business model? And it comes back to, if you're not paying for a service, sometimes you may be the product. Yeah. If you're not paying for something, you are the product. They may be monetizing information about you. I'm not going to mention any individual companies that do free stuff, but you know, some of them have had their fair share of controversy, let's say. So better than not having it at all. But if you were going to go for free, I'd go for the free stuff that's built into Windows as well. You mentioned Windows Defender. You know, that's adequate. The paid for stuff is better, and it doesn't have to be Norton. There's Kaspersky with a K. There's ESET, ESET. Those are all excellent. You know, it's not that I'm trying to say, oh, it must be Norton, but Norton is good, but the others I've mentioned also are good.
Okay. Sue says, my Gmail has stopped loading JPEG images. I just get a little arrow and a circle, can't load the image, it says. I'm using an Android Acer tablet. It's odd because the same images will load on my Apple iTouch. What's happening, says Sue?
Yeah. Okay. So so with Gmail, you normally access it through a web page. I would suggest it might be a setting either in the browser or some other software that's on your device. One way around this may be to install a second browser if you haven't already got one. So if you're using, Chrome, use a different one, just to see, you know, like Firefox would be a good choice, because it could just be the settings on that. If you find it works in the other browser, then you know that it's something in the settings of the browser and you can investigate that. And again, it can be a security setting either in the browser or on the Gmail account itself. And so if you try to access your email from a different device, albeit, you know, even if you don't have another one, or just from your phone or a different device, if you've got the same problem, then you know it's something to do with the set, most likely something to do with the settings on your Gmail account itself. So you need to do a bit of investigation to see where the problem's coming from. It's either on the device or it's in the account.
Good stuff. Fessy, thank you ever so much. If people want to come and find you on Twitter, where can they?
Sounds somewhat menacing, but all right. They can find me at Gadget Detective on Twitter. And if you've got a tech problem and you didn't get it answered today, I'll do my best to help you.
Really appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
Cheers.
Fexy Turk, Carl Power, Gadget Detective, live on BBC Radio Berkshire.